care about another vote to get a competitive get in. And item that Lisa contended with us about how to the old superintendent started the program. So they've been installed at all. We checked today; all the schools have been have had them installed, except for the one in Askerville. They promised that would be done tomorrow, and we had five left over. So we put three at the county office building. So there's two at the courthouse and one at the county office building that we can get in those buildings in case anything else as far as at the shooter, fire, anything after hours. So, and those keys have been labeled. And it came, like I said, it came out of our budget and kind of took the bull by the horns and got it done. The county schools, the main support put them on for us, so they help us on that. But we have a baby school, and that's private and charter school.
So anyone have any questions?
Does the key that goes in, is that a universal key you can get in any building, but any door, or just in particular?
The keys that are in the box is a master key that will get us into that particular building. Like the county office building, it's a master key, courthouse same way.
So if you got the key to something on the other end of the building, that key would get you in there?
Right. Perfect. That's why we got them placed.
So we got them placed.
Three or four different locations.
Around each school.
Well, I think the high school got five.
In 2013, when we started the school safety program, I think Ms. White was the superintendent at the time. Right now, Bertie County is so far in front of everybody else when it comes to school safety. What we're doing and the initiatives that the school safety team has put into place is unbelievable. There's some people that don't have, not even got to the point where they got the digital locks, things that they buzzed in. We didn't have any of these things. It has been done within 24 months. Everything was completed. We also had an active shooter drill where we had live people inside the buildings with rubber bullets the whole 9 yards as the sheriff's department came in to take down people. And that was the deal. And again, I'm going to bring this up that Mitch Cooper had a big play in this. Mercy serves along with the sheriff's department and the school safety team, okay, that has been put in place. So,
I also mentioned we got one of the clerk's office at the vault, and one of the registered deeds office at the vault. If they have active shooter in that building, those employees are going into the vault, they're going to lock themselves in, so we can, after everything's over, we can get the key and let those people out. So, we used them all up. I think we got 45 of them from Lowe's, and they gave us a little bit of a discount, so I think we spent $1,800.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Sounds good.
Any thoughts?
Don't leave them in the hole.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is going to be Emergency Service Director Mitch Cooper and Chief Deputy Kenny Ferry will present a proposed list of new passable roads and the fund. To these services because of the conditions of the roadways
which have been deemed to be detrimental to public health, safety, and general welfare of the citizens of the county, and said conditions have been determined to be a public nuisance or safety hazard. It is desirable and necessary to adopt a road safety and maintenance ordinance for the territorial jurisdiction of Turkey County as the area set forth. Then that's for the public. They are definition, private road. A road or a street that has not been accepted or planned for acceptance by North Carolina Department of Transportation or other governmental entity, and which provides vehicular access to residential areas containing a minimum of two dwellings. A private road should not include a private driveway providing ingress or egress to a single private residence. And what is a passable road? Private road must be passable. It is defined as being clear of obstacles and capable of being traveled upon safely. Travel will be deemed safe when said private road is devoid of any and all holes, tracks, crevices, potholes, and other breaks in the road which cause the bottom chassis of a vehicle to come in contact with the ground or water during non-extreme weather conditions. Roads assessed, after all the conversation before the ordinance was passed and written, we come up with 28 roads that not DOT maintained that have been verbally addressed in our office that need to be checked out. And these are listed as roads, 28 of them that we've gone through. I know there's a lot of questions about how this assessment was going to be done, so we come up with a plan. The assessment was done with a 2011 Crown Victoria-style police car that is a spare vehicle for emergency management. The vehicle was chosen to represent the lowest ground clearance vehicle in emergency response, which is a Dodge Charger at 4.6 inches of ground clearance. These roads were assessed because the citizen was determined a concern. If a road has not been listed, a request would need to be made for the assessment. Another picture of your car. Alright, and on to the road pictures. We got Ted Cherry Lane, which is up in the Kelp area. And you can see the two marks. I know y'all have to do the fact the two marks are identified when the chassis hit. And this is a more, this was the deepest one to the car bottom out on. It just didn't hit. I mean, it was sitting on the heel.
That's pretty bad.
Nancy Boulevard. This road, up until I'd say a couple of months ago, was grown up and was actually impassable, like we wouldn't even take the car down. We do have documentation from the Kelvin Fire Department where they've got fire truck stuff out there. And that's a commercial cab, a custom cab fire truck, I mean, that's a nice rig pushing mud. Now there are two residents on this road. We took out those houses for a privacy issue. We just wanted to focus on the road. But we did talk to a resident there and said there's two people that are living on that road now. It's got some bad spots now. And there's Tina Lane, which is that very end of the Cherry Lane. And you can see the residents down there that come in and encroaching the other people's yards to get around. The David Drive, it's also the Kelvin area. It's two spots marked as when you come in. And then this very bottom one is the worst one on David Drive where I spoke about earlier, I lost the license plate bracket to the front of the car because it was that bad. There's three spots identified on the road. These are the only four roads that we have driven that qualify under what the ordinance says, chassis hitting the ground and not extreme weather conditions of the 28 that we've been in. And that's what we represent. And these are the partners that have done all this stuff. Any questions?
How many again, Mitch, was that? How many roads that were approved that
How many roads qualify?
Four roads.
Four roads.
Just four roads and two owners. Three, Ted, Jerry, Nancy, and Tim are all owned by the same person.
Right.
And David's owned by.
So the trouble we have here is still shows two in Corain.
So we rewrote those roads that were at the max level that met the chassis requirements. Pioneer and Cabin Avenue, somebody's actually started working on it.
Yeah.
So when we rode them out there, they've actually started working on our chassis and engine. And it's actually gotten a lot better.
Yeah, that's what we want.
I think the goal of the ordinance is working.
Right. There's only one that I still get questioned about, and it's my district, it's Thomasville and Pierce. And, you know, people are going around the roads into a couple of citizens' yards, and that's caused some real big disturbance with folks, you know, arguments and stuff like that.
I rode that road three times, and I get it, but under that ordinance, it says that chassis has a hit. And it also says non-extreme weather conditions.
Right, now, and that's just bad when there's mud holes and you can't really tell how deep it is, and then people are trying to go around it.
Last year we had, I think it was 26 inches of additional rain than when we normally average. We were, should have been around 32 when we were healthy.
That's the only one that I still get a lot, and they've been very, very vocal, as you well know, about
yes,
this.
Yes, sir.
Right? Just if we can just, now what is the process again for a person requesting, you know, the assessment?
If somebody wants an assessment, all I got to do is call our office in Victoria, tell me, and I'll put it on the schedule to go ride it. We'll go get the car, make sure it's running, get it down there running.
What I'm saying is, let's make sure that, you know, at all stations where citizens might call in to the county for a reason, they didn't call the switchboard to report it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we call it communication, but they call my office, 794-5302, and, you know, either she'll answer or leave a voicemail, or we'll get back in contact with you and tell you when and how we're going to do it.
Right.
And if you want to be present, I'll do it.
So if somebody calls the county switchboard, that person will know to transfer it over?
Yes.
Is that what you want to do? Just want to make sure that the calls get, you know, get to you.
Any other questions? Have you said any notes?
Yes, the county attorney has prepared letters which will be delivered by courier or personal delivery by sheriff, I believe.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Good. Okay. Public Service, County Attorney Lord Smith, called for the work session September 16th. Mr. Smith?
This, I, of course, wasn't the last meeting, but there were some questions raised about the proposed extension, which the public was asking for, and you had some questions about it. And of course, we were running out of time. This October 8th is just about here, so we contacted Steve Weber, who's the attorney for the public, and we told him that there were some questions being raised and certain things we couldn't agree to, and they agreed very rapidly, I thought, to just a one-year extension of existing agreement. So you would have time to actually look at it and deal with the various questions that you had. I was thinking you'd do that at a work session in the future. Okay. And the performance bond questions taken out. In other words, not believed. They only, and I think, in fact, I know I sent y'all a copy of the redrafted document.
What are we looking for, Mr. Manager? We need a motion to approve it as stated, which is 1 year.
It's the actually the Fifth Amendment to the 1994 contract. And it amends it less than any of the other ones ever had. It just extends it for 12 months, so we'll have time to talk about it.
All right, we have any questions?
I do have one question. Okay. The question that came up at our work session was, at what point do we get to take another look at the tonnage rate?
Well, we're in the process of comparing statewide rates now. I've called Wake County and Rudolph or Randolph, and haven't gotten a call back from either of the attorneys whom I both know. Jonathan's reached out to the other two in the state. And as to the point of that, that's going to be sometime in the next 12 months. It's when you as our principals, raise it with them as their, through their principals.
Right, so I guess the question is there a specific time that we are allowed to raise that, or is it just whenever we have information to warrant that, or is this 12-month extension?
The 12-month extension just simply extends it as it is because of the CPI index that's continued to go up every year since we did this 25 years ago. There is no provision in the contract itself to allow for an increased rate, although there have been increased rates negotiated in the past. And I was under the distinct impression at our last meeting with the public when they were talking about bringing in a larger volume, perhaps from some other areas, that was something they were amenable to discussing. But it's going to require both sides sitting down and talking about it and us getting prepared to see where you want to go.
Well, I guess that's just the point. I mean, does the contract, you know, prohibit us from raising that point, raising that discussion, or calling for an increase at any time prior to that change in the contract? Because that could be 10 years, that could be 3 years from now, could be 5 years. Do we have, as a county, the authority to say, we want to see a renegotiated price at any specific time in this contract?
No.
We do not have that authority. That's the question we need to know.
Okay. Any other questions? I think we're going to be looking for a motion on this to be able to move forward with a 12-month extension.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Board appointments. DSS board, Dr. John Hill. And we have a motion.
Move to approve.
We have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Region Q Workforce Development Board, Mr. Otis Smallwood and Mr. Mike Dial. I make a motion to move forward.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Consent agenda. Approved minutes for work session August 27, 2019, September 3rd, 2019. Approved minutes for regular session September 3rd, 2019. Approved minutes for closed session September 3rd, 2019. Approved minutes for emergency session September 3rd, 2019. Approved minutes for planning session September 16, 2019. Approved minutes for public hearing September 30th, 2019. Registered of deeds. Fees report September 2019. Budget amendments, tax release journal, ABC fund report for the year 2018-19, prepared by Trillium Health Resources. We'll stop right there. It's going to be motion, so need a motion for 1 through 10.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Get number 11. Annual Child Fatality Prevention Report to the County Commissioners Board of Health. Mr. Manager, do you have anything on this?
This is an annual report required by general statute, prepared by our regional health district, and it is fully available in the packet, and we need a record in the minutes that the board has received.
Okay. All right. Can I have a motion on this item, please?
Page 93 is the cover memo. The print is rather small.
I mean, I heard the report at my health board meeting, but I'm just not sure it was in there. I must have scanned right over it. Sorry.
Okay, has everybody had time to review? All right, call the motion, please.
I'll make a motion we accept this report.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 2019-2020 Senior Center General Purpose Agreement. Does everybody have a chance to go through that?
This is an annual agreement for the Council of Aging and the state, and it is encompassed with the budget that was approved earlier this year.
Okay. Can I have a motion on that, please?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now, we've got the 2020 Board of Commissioners meeting is in holiday schedule. We have some conference. Do you want to address it now, or do we want to have the commissioners meet with the county managers and...
Well, we've heard comment this evening about some additional timelines that we need to adjust, where a work session and a regular meeting were scheduled on the same day. So we will split those if it's okay with the board, and we'll have the work, unless you want to...
Well, I think Mankin's got with the time between the two from 10 to 6. I mean, that's 8 hours. And,
would you like to move it to 2 o'clock, maybe?
So close the gap.
And do 2 and 6?
Yeah, close the gap. So we're not going on.
Well, that might be an easier fix.
Yeah.
And with that comment, we could...
in one of those meetings, we're going to the public. We're going to, am I correct, Brandon?
We're going to Mayor Hill in the first one.
Yes.
February 17th.
So, I mean, to do it at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon would be useless. I mean, for the most part, you're not going to have any public there because of the working.
Why haven't we decided to have a work session on our meeting night? We always need it separately.
Well, yeah, we've identified that as a potential conflict, and if you'd like, we can have this adjusted for the November. Let us take another review on this.
Okay. Other item of discussion agenda. Discuss request by the attendance group for the county to submit North Carolina DOT petition for revisions of Chilwell Shores Drive, Owens Drive, Small Circle, and Chilwell Shores subdivision.
Within your packet, there is correspondence which was prepared by the consulting engineer on behalf of the property owners in those areas identified. Tracy White of the planning office has been in touch with North Carolina DOT. It's our understanding that those roads do not meet DOT standards, and until they're brought up to the current standards required by the state, it would be premature for the county to approve that petition. But because it was formally submitted to the board, we wanted you to be aware of it in case you were approached by any of those residents who might make an inquiry. Is that?
Yes, I did have some more correspondence with Michael Hill, the district engineer. He said there was no form in the county passing that resolution now because it will kick off the process for that DOT. What they'll do is once you pass the resolution to support the petition, they will actually go out there and create a punch list. The engineer will have to make all those improvements according to that list before DOT will actually accept that road for maintenance. The district engineer said there's no harm in you doing that. I had a conversation with the actual engineer, the consultant engineer, and he said that the process usually starts with the resolution. So the DOT will not accept it if it doesn't meet their standards once they've given them everything that they need to do. It's kind of like a punch list is what the engineer referred to it as. It lets them know exactly what they need to do in order to get the road to meet their standards.
All right, so you're recommending for us as a director to move forward with a resolution
yes.
References and make a motion on it as of now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Trace has explained that out to us. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Discuss the town of Coleraine Historical District nomination for National Register of Historic Places. I received a letter probably 2 weeks ago, which I forwarded to the county manager in reference to the town of Coleraine Historical District. They're up on Historical District. be approved. I sent it to the county manager and the town of Caldwell and see if there's anything that we needed to do for them. I received a phone call and they said there was nothing going on out of the way, but everything worked out fine. They're moving forward with this.
I think Tracy may have some additional background on that too.
Ben Harrell told me that the town, it was not a town project, a town endeavor, but the town wasn't supportive of it. It was a citizens group that was trying to get Coleraine to the map for historic places to be considered historic.
And I had received a phone call also from one of those citizens just to let me know what it was about and for the board to let them know and make sure we're good with everything, which we are. I said, that's your ultimate value. They might move forward. I really want to, but if you need assistance from us, let us know. Be more glad to know. Okay.
So this is just for informational purposes?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay, commissioners report. Junior Commissioner, Mr. Joyner, do you have any reports?
Yes, I do. Good evening. First, I'm going to say it's good to be back. Anyway, for my first report, I want to say that I really do enjoy how safe our schools are compared to other schools, because for the most part, being in the actual country piece of North Carolina, or should I say the ruralistic piece of North Carolina, we shouldn't be that far ahead, but we are, so that's a good thing. Also, I would like to inquire about the food pantry as far as the building behind the Southwestern School, because I've gotten a lot of questions about that, because they want to use it for extra space, that way they don't have to turn away donations of food. I believe the other week, one of the managers said that they had to turn away, I think it was about 40 pounds of canned goods that could have been used to feed other people in this county, simply because they did not have space. So that's one of the problems.
The Board of Education.
Okay. Right. So I know that they took other problems up river. All righty. And that's pretty much all that I have to report.
Welcome back.
Okay. Ms. Baseball?
Just want to announce the Bird Team Making Tracks in Windsor, October 14th through November 22nd. They will use free, safe, and measured tracks routes starting at 104 Dundee Street, parking lot behind the courthouse and the Court of Extension. And the best time to join is 12 o'clock noon to 1 o'clock, or you may walk at 5 to 6. I also would like to congratulate Rayshonda T. Murphy, which is the daughter of Reginald and Bernice Murphy. She's a 2019 graduate. She attended Berkeley High School, NCCU School of Law, who passed the bar, first time taken, and will be sworn by Chief Justice Sherry Beaver. And that's on October the 25th at Wake County Courthouse. Kudos to Berkeley.
Mr. Wesson?
Well, just a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Smallwood for, bringing or voicing the concern that we've had for a long time about not being able to pay public school teachers a supplement. We were one of only four counties in the state of North Carolina, 4 out of 100 that did not pay a supplement. And we are now, thanks to the county and also the school board, part of their own fund balance, to change that. And we're hoping that that can have a significant impact on being able to attract and retain teachers here in Berkeley County. We know that's part of the problem. So thank you for bringing that request in from the board. I mean, we were delighted to be able to help fund that. I also wanted to say thank you, too, for another new initiative. The school system is getting involved, even more involved, in the community in terms of feeding children and supporting other community needs. Teachers and school staff are now going to be able to, through payroll deduction, give directly to the United Way and all of the organizations that United Way supports, and we're rolling that out to the school systems in person and also to Youth Bertie, the initiative that feeds right now 195 of our most needy kids, and food insecurity kids every weekend. So those two programs, and the administrators and the staff have embraced that strongly. So we're looking forward to how that will help change lives. Thank you.
Next thing is the quarter cent or 1 cent tax referendum is going to be coming up. We all need to get behind this. That quarter cent of 1 cent sales tax is what will go to the school systems for these incentives as far as bonuses and things to acquire talent. We have got to have this. Please spread this word. If we just had all the retired school teachers, administrators, and things of that nature go out and vote for this when it gets on the ballot, it would pass. And if it passed, this money would go directly to the school board itself for them to allocate for allocations. Next thing I'd like to talk about is that Martin County, Burke Chief County, Pasquamas County opened up a new 911 center, okay, in Martin County. It was a $5.4 million project. Burke Chief County was a part of this. I went to the ribbon cutting on this. And it will be our backup system, as it will be for Pasquamas County, okay? If we get shut down by hurricane or anything else, we have it set up for our dispatchers to go over there also. A couple things I want to bring up. The other reference to the school safety, and I've brought this up numerous times before. I don't think we've gotten anywhere with this as of yet, because this goes back to the state, goes back to law enforcement. When it comes to the school safety program, we're pretty tight on everything. The only thing we're not tight on is communications inside that building. The Viper system, which is a new system that we have and the rest of the state has, will not work inside of the school building. Dr. Smallwood, since you're new here, I want you to be aware of this. These law enforcement officers get inside that building to go after somebody. They have no communication whatsoever. Okay? Mr. Turner, I want you to know this because I'm making this a public statement that it needs to be known. The Viper system does not work with inside the school buildings. Okay? It is a weakness. It is a flaw. It needs to be addressed, and I've brought it up several times. I've also brought it up to House seat members and also state senators about this issue. They've got to come up with a plan. Since we do have a new school superintendent, he needs to be aware of this also and go from there. We're remodeling the commissioner's room. It's been the way it has been since, I don't know, probably before I was born, probably, but anyhow. If you go in there, if you take a peek, you'll see where there's new cabinets being put in, new flooring has been put in, new paint on the walls and things of that nature. We're not finished with it yet, but we'll be finished with it by or before November, okay? The panel systems are going on the walls for our panelization. It's going to be beautiful. I think it's going to give Burke County citizens great pride to be able to come to meetings, be able to see this room, the way it's going to be set up, granite tops, things of this nature. It shows the county commissioners, also the citizens of Burke County, moving forward with this thing. And as Mr. Wes has just whispered in my ear, new chairs also for the citizens. Okay? New chairs for the citizens. So that's the deal.
Yes, I have exciting news. I announced sometime back that in the month of May we would start food distribution through the Alcohol Food Bank in Powellsville, but we had some hiccups along the way, but we started this past week, and we served 91 families. This is a much needed in this area, and so I'm excited to have been a part of it, and I was out there helping serve, and the folks that came through were very grateful. So if you can volunteer, this is the first Tuesday of every month at 11 o'clock. Volunteers get there at 9:30, at 10 o'clock. So come help us, come get served, whatever you need. So that's exciting. Our Banners Peanut Festival is this Saturday. Go out and enjoy. They'll have lots of vendors, lots of good food out there. It's usually a lot of good entertainment, so
go support hometown and go to Orlando. And I also have been asked to serve as chair of the Justice and Public Safety Steering Committee for our association again. So I will be serving in that capacity. And for our national association, I am subcommittee chair for law enforcement. So any items that our law enforcement officers would like for me to take back to that committee, I'd be happy to do so on your behalf. Thank you.
I'd like to give Commissioner Lee some kudos too for the food pantry work, because she's been very instrumental there. But I want all citizens to know, if you think there is a need in your community that your community can sustain helping to build a food pantry, you can do like many of the other communities have. We have a mobile, the food bank has a mobile food pantry that will help you test if there is enough need in your community and response, right? And if it is, it'll help you prove that there is without having to have a facility. But the long run of it is that they will want you to be able to establish a location in the community that the community has access to at some point. We can't keep the the mobile food pantry there forever, right? But several communities have been able to do that. Right? But you really have to be able to know that there's enough need and then rally the community to support it on an ongoing basis. But it's a great way to get some additional nutrition and nourishment to people who can't always get here to some of the other centers like in Windsor or elsewhere.
And I'll be happy to help anyway. I love it.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, do you have anything?
No report.
Mr. Bennett.
No, sir.
Okay. We have 3 minute comments set. Any comments, please? Looks like we got no comments. Okay, then I'm going to accept the motion to recess to October 14th. We have a town hall meeting with Dr. Dan Riggs and the town. Motion to recess to the 14th.
Second.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Pretty efficient.